been saying, all our plans are empty. They have been saying, where is their God now?
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with Mary Baker Eddy's hymn number 447.
It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whatever betide. End of these storms or tyrant's thrones, God able is to raise up seed in thought and deed to faithful his.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The remaining hymns are 141 and 10. Woven throughout the structure of these readings to create a single tapestry are the books The Voice, The Message, and King James versions of the Bible with correlative passages from miscellaneous writings, Rudimentary Divine Science, and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. For an uninterrupted flow, the books of the Bibles are from Matthew and 2 Corinthians and will not otherwise be announced. The topic of today's healing message is, how do I roll away the stone of materialism in all things, including socio-economical and political issues? While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up, and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove, a symbol of divine science, purity and peace, hope and faith, descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, this is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. We also are willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test. Since you are God's Son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread. Jesus, quoting Deuteronomy, it is written, man does not live by bread. Rather, he lives on every word that cometh out of the mouth of the Eternal One. The point, of course, is not that Jesus couldn't have turned these stones to bread. A little later in the story, he can make food appear when he needs to. But Jesus doesn't work miracles out of the blue, for no reason, for show or proof or spectacle. He works them in intimate, close places. He works them to meet people's needs and to show them the way to the kingdom. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city, Jerusalem, and he had Jesus stand at the very highest point in the holy temple. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, jump. Then we'll see if you fulfill the scriptures that says, he will command his heavenly messengers concerning you, and the messengers will buoy you in their hands, so that you will not crash or fall or even graze your foot on a stone." Jesus said, "This is not the only thing Scripture says. It also says, do not put the Eternal One, your God, to the test." For the third test, the devil took him to the peak of a huge mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out all of earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were. Then he said, "They're yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours." Jesus' refusal was curt. "Beat it, Satan." He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." The test was over. The devil left. And in his place, angels came and took care of Jesus' needs. From that time on, preaching was part of Jesus' work. Now Jesus desires a community around him, friends and followers who help him carry this urgent, precious message to people. His message is not dissimilar to John. Turn away from sin, turn toward God. And so he calls the community to join him. This first beloved followers or students are fishermen. This third stage of mental growth is manifested in love, the greatest of all stages and states of being. Love that is irrespective of self, rank, or following. Divine love is the substance of Christian science, the basis of its demonstration, yea, its foundation and superstructure. Love impels good works, is greatly needed, and must be had to mark the way of divine science. The student who heals by teaching and teaches by healing will graduate under divine honors. So, from there he went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme, that beginning right now, they were under God's government, a good government. He also healed people of their diseases and the bad effects of their bad lives. Word got around the entire Roman province of Syria. People brought anybody with an ailment, whether mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them, one and all. More and more people came. The momentum gathering. Besides those from Galilee, crowds came from the 10 towns across the lake. Others up from Jerusalem and Judea. Still others from across the Jordan. All men shall be satisfied when they awake in his likeness, and they never shall be until then. Human pride is human weakness. Self-knowledge, humility, and love are divine strength. Christ's vestures are put on only when mortals are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The spiritual idea of love, self-immolation, innocence and purity, sacrifice. We must walk in the way Jesus marked out if we would reach the heaven-crowned summit of Christian science. Genuine Christian scientists will no more deviate morally from that divine digest of science called the Sermon on the Mount then they will manipulate invalids, prescribe drugs, or deny God. Jesus' healing was spiritual in its nature, method, and design. Here you stand face to face with the laws of infinite spirit and behold for the first time the irresistible conflict between flesh and spirit. You stand before the awful detonations of Sinai. You hear and record the thunderings of the spiritual law of life as opposed to the material law of death. The spiritual law of love as opposed to the material sense of love. The law of omnipotent harmony and good as opposed to any supposititious law of sin, sickness, or death. And before the flames have died away on this mount of revelation, like the patriarch of old, you take off your shoes, lay aside your material appendages, human opinions and doctrines, give up your more material religion with its rites and ceremonies, put off your materia medica and hygiene as worse than useless, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Then you meekly bow before the Christ, the spiritual idea that our great master gave of the power of God to heal and to save. Then it is that you behold for the first time the divine principle that redeems man from under the curse of materialism, sin, disease, and death. This spiritual birth opens to the enraptured understanding a much higher and holier conception of the supremacy of spirit and of man as his likeness, whereby man reflects the divine power to heal. Jesus is providing an entirely different perspective on success and happiness. The new kingdom is breaking in, and the new community is coming together. This is the logic of that kingdom and that community, to inhabit God's story. This is what must be done. To accrue fame and comfort and riches is counter to this new community. In the economics of this new community, real success is marked by a willingness to sacrifice one's very life to God. And the promised rewards are immense. God gives a lesser idea of himself for a link to the greater. And in return, the higher always protects the lower. The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father, and blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeking his own in another's good. Love giveth to the least spiritual idea might, immortality, and goodness, which shine through all as the blossom shines through the bud. All the varied expressions of God reflect health, holiness, immortality, infinite life, truth, and love. 6 days later, three of them saw that glory. Jesus took Peter and the brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. His appearance changed from the inside out, right before their eyes. Sunlight poured from his face. His clothes were filled with light. Then they realized that Moses, moral courage, a type of moral law and the demonstration thereof, the proof that without the gospel, the union of justice and affection, there is something spiritually lacking. And Elias, prophecy, spiritual evidence opposed to material sense, Christian Science, with which can be discerned the spiritual fact of whatever the material senses behold, the basis of immortality, were also there in deep conversation with him. Peter broke in, "Master, this is a great moment. What would you think if I built three memorials here on the mountain, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias?" While he was going on like this, babbling, a light radiant cloud enveloped them, and sounding from deep in the cloud, a voice, "This is my son, marked by my love, the focus of my delight. Listen to him." When the disciples heard it, they fell flat on their faces, scared to death. But Jesus came over and touched them. "Don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes and looked around, all they saw was Jesus, only Jesus. He who is begotten of the beliefs of the flesh and serves them can never reach in this world the divine heights of our Lord. The time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis, when immortal mind and its formations will be apprehended in science, and material beliefs will not interfere with spiritual facts. Man is indestructible and eternal. Sometime we shall learn how spirit, the great architect, has created men and women in science. We are to wary of the fleeting and the false, and to cherish nothing which hinders our highest selfhood. In science, no breakage nor dislocation can really occur. The life of man is mind. Proportionately, as human generation ceases, the unbroken links of eternal harmonious being will be spiritually discerned, and man, not of the earth earthly, but coexistent with God, will appear. The scientific fact that man and the universe are evolved from spirit, and so our spiritual, is as fixed in divine science as is the proof that mortals gain the sense of health only as they lose the sense of sin and disease. Mortals can never understand God's creation while believing that man is a creator. God's children, already created, will be cognized only as man finds the truth of being. Thus it is that the real ideal man appears in proportion as the false and material disappears. No longer to marry or to be given in marriage neither closes man's continuity nor his sense of increasing number in God's infinite plan. Spiritually, to understand that there is but one creator, God, unfolds all creation, confirms the scriptures, brings the sweet assurance of no parting, no pain, and of man deathless and perfect and eternal. The time cometh when the spiritual origin of man, the divine science which ushered Jesus into human presence, will be understood and demonstrated. Glory be to God and peace to the struggling hearts. Christ hath rolled away the stone from the door of human hope and faith, and through the revelation and demonstration of life in God, hath elevated them to possible at-one-ment with the spiritual idea of man and his divine principle, love.